And I want to thank Pastor Jim, because for years, my heart has been to bring pastors together, and all of a sudden, I meet this guy and out at the courthouse, and in fact, he heard me preach one day, and I said, we're all contagious, and he's contagious. Anyway, and what Pastor Jim does is break down the doctrine, the walls, he calls it, we're silos, and bring us together. And imagine if all 232 churches in this valley came together and prayed for our government, prayed for God's glory, prayed for revival. And when I hear this thing in Kentucky, I can't believe it's Kentucky, but praise God, it's happening. And I believe it's an answer to prayer, and I believe God is going to break down more and more dividing walls. I mean, we had Pastor Travis here and Pastor Dan. And
we're going to visit
those yes.
other congregations. But I want to go ahead and pray real quick, too.
Amen.
And then we'll have people sit. But do you want to open us up?
Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the hearts of God. Thank you for people that care about God so much that their lives don't matter. Thank you for the presence and the anointing upon this fellowship and upon many people and upon each and every one of us. And so as we come together, we want the Spirit of God to join in everybody's heart. So grab someone's hand before you sit down and say, may God be with us today. In Yeshua's name.
May God be with us
Amen.
Today.
Bless you, Wendy.
So, you want me to just take this off? Oh. Okay, we'll try that. But am I off right now?
No, you're
I'm
on.
I'm on. Okay, I just can't hear it very well.
You need to turn it up.
Okay, I think I need to be turned up a tiny bit. Thank you. Okay. Yes, thank you again to my husband. For just the amazingness. Also a miracle. Last week, remember I said I couldn't find my earring? So the good news is I had actually put it on my ear. I put both on. And it just had fallen in our front driveway. Someone ran over it, but it's fixed. My husband fixed it. So anyway, yes, amen. So reviewing real quick from last week, recognizing that authority comes through submitting to God's authority in our lives. Oftentimes authority comes in packages we don't really like or want to hear or even recognize, that's right. But that's often how God tests our spirit to see if we are willing. Even just the simple instruction of gathering some manna for the day. Some people just didn't take that instruction, that simple instruction, but that was an area that when you can obey, that's authority. And God gives you authority. He builds your base when you are willing to submit in those areas.
Yeah, and it's important to realize that when God reveals something, we yeah. need to be so obedient, because if we're not, he won't build upon it.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. Also, Exodus 15:2, we need a real revelation of who Yahweh really is in our lives.
Yahweh,
and I'm happy to use the handheld. I don't want to keep doing this. So,
Amen.
But just that understanding, that's going to be kind of the crux of our sermons today. Just really understanding that the God of the universe is also our personal, that's Yeshua. That is the God who saves and who has restored us to him. Amen. So the title is The Mystery and Revelation of Yeshua, or Jesus. And the cool thing about that word mystery is not that we can't ever figure it out. Mysteries are meant to be solved, right? Actually, what it means is it's yet to be revealed. But to some, it's already been revealed. That whole nature of who Yeshua is from beginning to end. Where is the handheld mic? Oh, that's right. I knew that. Thanks. Yep, okay.
I believe his mystery is a progressive growth of maturity. And I believe maturity is going to be a power of revelation.
Yes. So I just want to do a brief overview of kind of how I see the Bible from beginning to end. I know there's a lot to cover, but I just hit on a few major things, really. But it, to me, what I see and what God kept revealing to me is that it's a love story. So I'm going to retell to you a love story right now. Creation from the beginning was about Yahweh wanting a people unto himself. He wanted a people that had a heart for him, that would love him in return, and that he could fellowship with, really. It's an odd concept because he's this massive being we often, I don't think, really conceptualize, but he always has had desire to be very personal in our lives. So that's where it began. And then it came down to a few people on the earth, very interpersonal relationships and covenant with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then we see it with Joseph. And then through them became a formation of a nation, the nation of Israel. Again, as we've talked about multiple times, God picks the underdogs. He doesn't pick the ones that have it going on. So in case you think you're super awesome, we know that he picks the underdogs. And then he brought to this nation salvation or restoration to him through Passover, through that first Passover in Egypt where they had to apply the blood on the door. That was a symbol. That was pointing to the blood of the Lamb that Jesus would bring several hundred years later, several thousand years later, as restoration to him. He's called us from the beginning of time. What he's doing is showing us that, hey, you're restored to me. This is the inheritance you've missed out on.
And one of the great mysteries is you put the blood of the door, blood of the Lamb on your door. Anyone in your house is saved. And I believe there's something powerful about that mystery today. Yeah. And we need to see our generations in our house and the blood of the Lamb on your house, on the doorpost, because your heart is broken for the blood of the Lamb.
And they shared the Lamb.
Amen.
Each house shared the Lamb. And if you didn't have enough people, you could bring more in to share the Lamb with them. Are you getting that? So this personal relationship that God has always wanted with his people, it's always about wooing his people to him. So he brings them salvation. He brings them out into the wilderness. They're barely, you know, kindergartners at this point, and they're learning what it means to have a God that's leading them, that's giving them instruction, that's giving them understanding of the way the world works, really.
Tell us, what does the Torah mean?
Well, that's what Torah means. It's instruction. So this part where we are reading currently in Exodus 21, they've come out of Egypt, they're sitting there at Mount Sinai, and they're being given the Ten Commandments and the rest of the Torah instructions. This is also what we now call today Pentecost. This is the same exact time. So it's where he gave them the words, the instruction, the understanding of how to walk close to him.
So the Spirit of God gave this instruction.
Yes.
Here. 3,500 years ago, and right. You're saying that 2,000 years ago, he did the same thing on the same day?
Yes. Yes, Acts 2. But the cool thing, and this is what really hit me, and this is what PC is going to go into, is the idea that the instruction has to come first. The elementary teachings have to be built there first. But God doesn't want us to end up and just live there. He wants us to graduate into that maturity and understanding of the spiritual application of these things that transform our lives and those around us. So the next thing he taught them was how to build the tabernacle. Okay, that's important physically, right? They needed a place to meet and to worship God. But what does that mean for us? He's building our tabernacle here. That's what he's doing here. When he breaks down all those silo walls, he's building his tabernacle. He's saying, what are the gifts that you're bringing to this fellowship?
And physical comes first.
Yes.
And the tabernacle he's building is
right.
This tabernacle, not just in me, but in the body.
Yeah.
And the body is building the tabernacle for a major, major revival.
Amen.
That's about to happen.
Amen. It is happening. And then the consecration of the priest, that's where he's teaching them how to truly serve him, how to serve, because that's what a priest is called to do, to live their lives and serve unto God. Who in here considers yourself a priest? I absolutely do, because that's what God's put on my heart. And I believe 1 Peter 2:9 as well.
And Peter says, you're a kingdom of priests.
That's right.
Meaning you need to find other priests that you can come together and lift up the name of Messiah and offer him the sacrifice of your hearts. And God is doing that today. We're
Amen.
Seeing a mighty priesthood coming together and grabbing each other's hands and praying with authority, because we're all priests of God. We're all walking in the Spirit of God, and we all need to come together, but we can't because you're Baptist or Methodist or this or that. But when God breaks down these walls, we're going to come together and we're going to see the power of prayer. When 200 or 300 churches are together, when 2,000 or 3,000 people are together in one accord and the power of God is there, they're going to pray for walls to come down, and they're going to come down. And the spiritual aspects that we often don't realize is going to be revealed in these days.
Well, I believe that's what the one new man is.
Amen.
It's that I'm not a Baptist. I'm not Assembly of God. I am a follower of Yeshua, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what
That's what we have Amen. In common.
So what is captivity?
Okay, I'm going to cruise through these last three
real quick. That's why I asked you.
Kay.
What is captivity?
Okay. Captivity, this is also God's love, because he doesn't just give us all the rainbows and butterflies. He also allows us to go through hardship, and that's also his love and his mercy. And we often put ourselves in those places. We often put ourselves into captivity, but God is with us. That's the promise we always have, is he's always there. So he allowed him to go into captivity, because what does it cause us to do? It causes us to cry out to him on a deeper level than we ever have. So he's in that too. Every bit of this is the husband calling his bride back to him. The prophets, the purpose from them was to call God's people back. That was always their message, was to repent and turn and draw near. And it still is, that's right. And Yeshua then came as that physical example to show us how to walk it out, the perfect, unblemished lamb. The whole thing about Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew, is that this is the bridegroom standing there, revealing his whole nature, saying, do you want to take me as your husband? Do you want to take that covenant with me? I think about when Jerry and I got married down there but not in February. We were out there in September when it was warm. And I know it was so cool, because he said, normally the women do their vows first. But he said, I want to do mine first, because it makes sense. That's the husband is offering the home to you. The husband's the one that's saying, I'm going to vow food, clothing, shelter, and intimate relations with you. That's the important thing that the husband offers, and it's up to the bride to respond. Exodus 19:6, it's the first verse in the Bible that says, your kingdom of priests. Back in Exodus, he didn't say men, women, whatever. He said, you are a kingdom of priests, and it's up to us how we respond. So this is where God's saying, this is all of me. Do you want me? Or do you just want the nice promises over here in Psalms? Or do you just want the nice things over here in the New Testament? Or do you just only want to look at the Old Testament? Because Yeshua says, I am one new man, and you're to be grafted into me, and I am the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation.
And God, Messiah, is looking for warriors. And you've got 10 points.
Yeah.
10 points for the lost sheep of Israel.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Okay. That's funny. So therefore, I just have a few verses that just highlight that concept of that marriage, that love relationship. Ephesians 5 talks about being imitators of God. So that really means we're supposed to walk like he walked. Walk in love, just as he also loved us. Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a fragrant aroma. And that was about restoration, restoring us to his right order too, to his heart. The mystery revealed is that Yeshua's heart is laid out through all of Scripture. That's truly the mystery. It's his heart. We should seek to know all of him, not just the things that feel comfortable.
Yeah, I was once told in Bible college, look at your Bible and look at all the Scriptures we have underlined.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, if you want to be saved, start reading the ones I don't have underlined, because God is in every one of them.
Yeah, amen. Scriptures. That's good. And how many times have you read a scripture that you've read maybe 100 times, and then you read it again and there's a whole different facet? God gives you a complete different revelation. That's a mystery of God. That's a mystery of walking in his Spirit. So in Ephesians 5, verses 24 through 26, it talks about Messiah's community is submitted to Messiah, so also the wives to their husbands in everything. This is often a scripture where you have a lot of women that are like, I'm not submitting. And I'm going to tell you the real translation and understanding of it. Because it is, it's a hard verse. It's a hard verse to think, I have to submit, I have to obey my husband. What if he's a pagan? You know, what if he doesn't really follow God well? There's something in this. This is part of that mystery. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved his community and gave himself up for her to make her holy, having cleansed her by immersion in the word. So the husbands are called to lay down their lives, just as Yeshua laid down his whole life for us, right? And that whole picture of Hosea, how many times did he lay down his life for that unfaithful bride? Sadly, we're the unfaithful brides.
That's what 50 years are.
That's what?
What 50 years are.
Oh, yeah. I know. There's 50 years. That's funny. Yeah, I was going to say, that goes two ways. Verses 27 through 30, Messiah did this so that he might present to himself his glorious community, not having stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that she might be holy and blameless. He covers her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, if he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Messiah also does his community, because we are members of his body.
Well, the marriage of the physical is a great picture of our marriage to Messiah. Mm-hmm. And the sad part about, or the hard part, is that husbands need to learn to be wise to Messiah. We need to submit. We need to learn how to love our husband as we expect our physical wives to love us. And that transformation mm-hmm. is very important for men.
Amen. Well, I think about just interpersonal relationships. What knits us together? It's typically when we make ourselves vulnerable to each other.
That's good.
Especially as a husband and wife, when my husband shares something that is hard for him to open up, but he does, it makes me endeared to him. It makes me want to love him more and to protect him. It's the same for friendships, too. When you have a friend that bears their heart to you and they're suffering or going through something, it knits you. It makes you want to cover and protect and care for them. This is God's heart. He's opened it up. He's flayed it wide open. Does that make you want to draw near to him and to support and to protect him, too? Let's see. I'm going to go to this word. So this word for submit is hupotasso in the Greek. It often is translated as to obey, but a more accurate understanding is rendered to deploy yourself in support. So women, submit to yourselves to your husband. That means deploy yourself in support. It's the only time it's used, and it's used in military terminology. It's used as a term of war. Go to war for your husband. Go to war for Yahweh.
Yeah, look at the spiritual aspect of that, too.
Yeah.
As we deploy ourselves
mm-hmm.
to support. I mean, the last thing Jesus said to us is, I want you to bear witness. I mean, that's support. We're supposed to bear witness of wherever we go.
Yeah.
So wherever you're at, people will know that Messiah's presence was in the room.
Yeah. The ladies that I have known that, that man, you touch their families, you touch their husbands, they are right there. They will go to war. They'll throw down. So watch out. But that's, I think, I see that across the board. And I think that's because it's meant to be that way. God put it in us to fight, to go to war, to lay down our lives too, in a sense, for our spouses, just as we are to go to war for everything that would come against us in our relationship with God. So for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We have to leave our old man nature, our old teachings, all the things that we've inherited, the traditions of men that don't line up with God. And we do. We have to let go. We don't identify anymore as this, as what we've come out of. It's a hard thought, I know. But God wants us to walk in that one new man. This mystery is great, but I'm talking about Messiah and his community.
And it is a mystery.
And this last verse here I have, Exodus 15:2, Yahweh is my strength. This is Moses who said this, is my strength and song, and he has become my Yeshua, my salvation. This is my God, and I will glorify him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. He, in that moment, had a revelation that the God of the universe, the God that delivered them from Egypt, the God that did all those miracles, that God was Jesus in his life. Amen. That was the God of salvation. He understood. That only comes by revelation, that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. He's the same. That's the revelation that Moses had there, and I think that's really amazing.
I love this part because Miriam is in this chapter too, the Song of Moses, and Miriam was saying, Yahweh God has become my Yeshua, my strength, my song, my salvation. And that's why the name Yeshua is my salvation, praise God. And Yeshua of Yahweh, but it's also my deliverance. And every area in my life that I am bound to, whether drugs or fish tacos or whatever, it has to be delivered. I have to give it all to God. And that's why I've got Yeshua in me, because he is my God, my strength, my salvation, and my deliverance is coming. Praise God.
And that's a really good segue into what was given at Mount Sinai, that those commandments and those instructions, and then the ones that we didn't understand, the chukim, the ones that we're like, I don't know, we just do. Because of obedience, because of the heart to want to draw near and understand. You know, there's things that Jerry tells me to do sometime or asks me to do that I'm like, that is stupid, or it's just whatever. I don't see the reasoning for it. Let's say that. Maybe it's not stupid, but I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. And then if I don't do it, I realize, oh, I should have done that because it was important. Or if I do it, I realize, oh, it's because the pipes freeze. That's why I needed to do that, or whatever it was, you know. Okay. That's God too. He wants us to obey, and then he gives us the understanding sometimes. But it's about being led of his spirit.
Explain chukim.
That's what I just explained.
I know what
that was, chukim.
I know.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is chukim is a Hebrew word
for
laws or ordinances that we don't understand.
Yes,
and
exactly.
God said it, so therefore, why did you go to church on Saturday?
Because he said to. Well, he didn't say go to church. He said fellowship together. But
that's a chukim.
Yes.
You know, that's between you and God.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on then. So what is God's love language? God's love language is, it really is to accept everything that he has offered us. And that means the old and the new, all of it, everything that he offered, his whole heart that he laid out there, that we would say, we want all of you. We want everything that you have to give us and that you want to teach us. Yeah. So going into Mishpatim, this is that, the word there, I wanted to just say one thing about it, because I know you're going to take it, but Mishpatim, it is to judge rightly, it's to render right ruling, it's that understanding, and that's what God's teaching them here, is how to rightly rule in their lives. Just like kids need instruction, you need elementary teaching, but don't build your house there. You have to build on to that.
So
you have to mature.
Mishpatim is using justice and judgment to understand the word of God.
Yeah.
That's very strong. In Hebrew, justice and judgment are one concept, one and the same. They are mishpah, or the singular. Judgment for a sinner, when you say judgment, every sinner should shake in their boots, because the God of the universe, who you may or not believe in, is about to bring you forth to the great white throne judgment. But for you, judgment is, praise God, it's deliverance, because you walk in judgment every day. You have God's spirit in you, and God's spirit doesn't want to walk in sin, so he convicts you every time you think about sin or think about deviating from the realm of justice. And one thing that judgment for us is called freedom. And Yeshua made
Yeshua make Mishpatim harder to understand?
Yeah, so here's a basic law. So we're going to get through some basic commandments. And like, for instance, go ahead and read this.
This would have been simple in the flesh, but understanding in his spirit makes life so different. If someone wants to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well.
Wait a minute. He's quoting Torah, a law. Somebody wants your shirt.
Give him your coat as well. He's making, go above and beyond.
He's making the word of God hard. Because it's not hard. What he's saying is, if you walk in my spirit, my spirit will give you my direction. And see, we need to walk not in the commandments, but walk in the spirit as God teaches those commandments on our hearts.
So if a soldier forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it for two. When someone asks you for something, give it to him. When someone wants to borrow something from you, lend it to him.
So he said that in Matthew 5, okay?
And it isn't hard when God does it. That's true.
He puts it on your heart.
Yeah, he does.
Go ahead.
Again, a simple direction. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Then you will become children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike, and he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What kind of mishpatim or Torah does he expect?
So he's taken the Torah and he's given life to it. He's adding a spiritual concept. And he's teaching us a greater Torah.
Which is him. He's teaching us his heart.
Yeah, what's it called? The HaTorah.
Oh, he is HaTorah. He is the living, breathing word.
When we get caught up in the laws and we condemn each other and judge each other, mm-hmm. we're not walking in the Spirit of God, because it's God's anointing that's going to teach us these things. And the Spirit mm-hmm. of God is important to realize that every one of these commandments, when you read Matthew 5, he is taking a simple commandment and now he's explaining it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And if without the Spirit, we just have our mental concept of how to interpret the Old and the New Testament. And that's why our mental concept has caused division after division and separation after separation. And we have made our new revelation, our doctrine, we have made it our idol and gods. And right now in America, we have 50,000 divisions. Oh, I love you. In the name of Jesus. And we all... I mean, you go to any church and you say, does anybody here love God? And what do people do? Whoa, praise God, hallelujah, and we all speak in tongues or whatever. But the fact is, he also said there's a commandment that's the same as loving God, and that's loving the people in the church down the street. Well, I love the people that love God the way we love in my religion, and we make everything uniform. That's why you go to this church, everybody looks the same. You go here, everybody, you know, whether you're Baptist or Pentecostal. But what God is saying, you can keep your individuality, but love them as I love them. Because God loves a Baptist just as much as he loves a Pentecostal. Much as he loves a Sabbath keeper. But the fact is, if we don't have a heart for God, a true heart for God, we're not going to have a heart for our neighbor. And I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but this, I don't. Sorry, it's too late.
Not too late.
I've been sitting in my chair right here for years. You know, we've had this church for 10, 11 years. And anyway, and so there's a guy that came and sat behind me. And he sings so loud. And every time there's a song up there, and I love the fact that he's come into my neighborhood. And every song he sings with all of his heart. And I barely know him, but I love him with all my heart, even though he's bald. And but he's still so handsome.
That's the greater Torah. You can love him anyway. Huh?
Yeah. Anyway, so thank you for sitting next to me and singing the song really loud. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, you want me to read it?
Yes.
A simple direction. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbors, hate your enemy. But I tell you, we just read this. Then you'll become children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike, and he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Yeah, we just read all this. except for move up into maturity. That was new. I don't know how we did that.
Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Is there anybody here that doesn't want to move up to maturity? I mean, anybody happy being retarded?
Wow.
I was in La Ceiba, and I was teaching about moving into maturity, and I actually had a woman start arguing with her son, and I found out that she was saying, hey, we don't want to do anything else. We're saved. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we're done. So don't preach about maturity or overcoming. And it really struck me because it's got to come from God. You've got to want to mature. You've got to want to be excited about God. You want God's anointing wherever you are, whether you're in the bank or Burger King. You know, the Spirit of God should be on you everywhere you go. And you should want that and be excited about it and mature. Right, Wendy?
Yes.
Okay, well, then good. We can move on to maturity.
Therefore, leaving behind the elementary teachings or the initial lessons about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of turning from works that lead to death.
That's salvation.
Trusting God.
Faith.
Instruction about washings.
Baptism.
Mikvah, it's kind of the same there, but the resurrection of the dead,
okay, and we understand that,
and eternal punishment. That's an elementary teaching, huh? The resurrection of the dead.
So all of these are elementary. Most of these are all I ever taught my first 30 years in the church. And what God is saying is there's more to salvation than being saved and getting baptized. If there is, then let's move on to it. And so he goes on to say, and God willing, this is what we will do. Would somebody say, praise God, this is what I want to do?
I just want to say something, too, that when I didn't, you know, I grew up a little bit in church. We did mostly home fellowship stuff. So I didn't have that same understanding that when you're in a church, that's kind of just who you connect with, you know. I mean, in your job and that kind of thing, but typically that understanding that that's who you only fellowship with. So it to me, it's not foreign to reach out and go into our community and talk to others. I've always been hesitant because usually others are hesitant. But, and I'm sorry again to put you on the spot, Jim, but that's what really drew my heart there was that, you know, I have this man who is my dad's age-ish.
He's a lot younger.
He's a lot younger. Okay, anyway, who has also grown up in probably a lot of traditions too, but who is willing to go outside that box, and it's not foreign to you. I don't know if it was at any point. Yeah, but you broke out of that, and that just really touched my heart because I saw that it's not just about like this new movement. It's a movement of the Spirit who does that in everyone that wants his heart, that wants deeper. And that's what really, I think that's the new man. That's the new man that God wants us to all identify with.
And that's a breaker in Micah 2.
That is, that's the breaker, yep, absolutely. So, we kind of said that.
All of these six things are elementary, then how do we look at a teaching and make it more mature like Jesus did on the Mount of Beatitudes in Matthew 5?
So this simple, direct law, take it and make it Jesus greater, mature.
Make it greater or be more mature.
I usually can speak your language, but this time I didn't quite get. You have heard that it was said you must not commit adultery. Simple, direct, and easy to understand, right? But what is the deeper understanding there? I say to you, anyone who stares at a woman with lust for her and has already committed adultery with her in his heart, his heart. It's to me that is, so here you have in the Old Testament, you have these instructions given, but God says, okay, now go deeper with that. That should be a foundation. That should be in your repertoire, but that's not where you stop. It's that it's on your heart. It's that you care about his ways. You care about fidelity for one, but that you care about walking in his ways and loving him and understanding the greater Torah.
Well, we can look at that two ways. Jesus made
made it harder.
The scripture harder. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't commit adultery, but I enjoy looking at women. And God, and mm-hmm. Jesus said, but if you look at a woman with a hubba hubba in your heart. And so we can look at it like, oh, he made it harder. Or we can look at it like, where's he coming up with that? It's because of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is guiding us to want to walk in his heart and his desire.
Yeah.
And that's his desire, is to have this pureness of character.
I think some of us are drawn to the rules. I think some of us are drawn to, this is how you do it, this is how you dress, this is what you do, because it's, in some ways, it's easy, right? It's easy, and we don't have to worry, did I hear God's voice? I don't know. It's just, you give me the rules, I just want to do it. And I think all of us at one point probably have been there. You know, I don't know how many times we've had people come in and say, okay, so what are the rules here? And I think invariably the rules are, you seek God. You ask God to show you how to walk obediently. And yes, there are simple instructions, yes, that need to be followed. But at the same time, it's not a rule book that we just live our lives by without any understanding. It's that he wants us to be drawn to his heart. And that's the order, is we are drawn to his heart, and then he teaches us those things.
Being legalistic or being led by the Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the works of the flesh, in Galatians 5:19, we've got all of these different realms of death that we call sin. So it starts out with adultery, fornication, lasciviousness. We know that's sin. But if you read on to the last six of them, there are areas of hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, quarrels, conflicts, factions, another word for factions is division. And people who practice such things, look at every church that's divided and started a new one. All the way back to our pilgrims, the Anabaptists, the Baptists, it goes on. And the division there is we look at like, well, that's okay. What we need to realize is if I read the scripture one way, and the guy that gives heart attacks, Bill, reads the scripture,
wow.
I'm teasing him because...
Yeah.
I haven't seen Bill since I had my heart attack, and he immediately said it was his fault.
Oh.
You know? But I love you, Bill. Thank you. So if I read a scripture and I understand it one way, and somebody else reads the same scripture and understands it a different way, it's okay. It's okay. You know why we look at the word differently? Have you ever noticed how tall Jim Hale is, Pastor Hale? And I stand next to him. Do we look a lot alike? We wish. And I wish. I'll bet he's never dreamed of being 5'4". But I've dreamed of being 6'4". So anyway, but we're different. We're gonna read the word differently. But does that mean, well, I've got to leave him and go start my own church? No, it means that I'm going to see things differently, and we still love each other. And that's what's so exciting about God, is God doesn't care about our doctrine. Our doctrine, I said years ago, is like body odor. We just all need a new baptism with soap this time. And this baptism I'm talking about is to really be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So that we can see, you know, we look at things differently. And it's the same thing in marriage. Marriage is going to always be different. But the reason we stay together is because there's something deeper than the fact that we have a difference. You know, Karen always dreamed of marrying a tall guy. And then I come along and she marries a short midget. And, but, you know, she's put up with me for 50 years. Not because we're so compatible. We're not compatible at all. You would never think we'd stick together for more than a couple of years. But the fact is, it's because there's something deeper in my wife about her love for God.
Amen.
She loves God more than she loves me. And because of that, we can stay together. So we've overcome these areas of works of the flesh because we want to serve God, and we don't want factions. And so if somebody loves God, I don't, you know, when you meet somebody and at the grocery store and you go, oh, what church do you go to? I don't care where they go to church. I just want to know, do you love God?
Amen.
If that's you love good. God, praise God, give me a hug, unless she's good looking. And my point being is we need to love one another over our differences.
Amen.
And our differences have caused America to be so divided. So divided.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're supposed to be one. This used to be a country,
yeah,
one nation, under God, indivisible. What God is allowing is now we don't have one nation under God. We've got a scattering of people's ideas and divisions. And I'm not just talking Republican and Democrat. The division is so strong in America, but there's going to be an authority that's going to pray for unity and pray for God's power to come to this earth. And that's one of the things that Pastor
happening.
Jim and Wendy put together is this pastoral alliance to pray for our government, to pray for our nation and our schools. Right now, if your kid goes to public school, you might as well expect them to become very liberal and very messed up by the time they get out of college. But with God's authority and the power of God, we can begin to see God's power come back into our churches and into our schools. And people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That alone has scared me, is I don't want to practice division and conflicts and quarrels.
Well, I think the key word there, too, is practice, meaning you're repeating, you're doing it over and over. You're
Amen.
Not turning from your ways.
Practice.
We all have done this in one form or another, but it's when you continue and you know better. I also was going to say, look at the children of Israel. God pulled them out of Egypt. They were a mixed multitude. You had Egyptians coming out. You had Hebrews. You had people that probably never called on the name of God, but they knew there was some salvation there. They knew there was something there, and they came out together. That's the picture right there. That's the picture. We're a mixed multitude, but God's called us.
Amen.
And that should be the thing that unites us. So look around the church today. Look at the person in front and behind you and tell me, do you guys look the same? You kind of already went over this.
Yeah.
Do you comb your hair the same?
Do you comb your hair the same? Do you wear the same makeup? Do you trim
your beard?
No, he didn't trim his beard at all.
I know.
And why? Why are we so different? Go ahead, next slide. Because you're different. Look at somebody and say, we're different. You don't need to be superficially alike. What really bothers me is if you're a Baptist, we want to gather around people that look like us, act like us, believe like us. We are superficially all gathered together alike. Yeah. Then we go home and have lunch and we badmouth each other. What is called American? What I believe God is doing is, look at the church. We have people all over the church that are Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, Pentecostals. We're all different, but you know what? This is my family.
Amen.
Amen.
We looked at my nieces here, and we had a little gathering at Pastor Wendy's house, and we both realized this is my family. These are my children. But yet, I look around here, and I see my brothers and my sisters, and Josh is going to be part of our family, but he's already part of my family. And Grant is already part of my family. And when I look around at this place and I see people I've known for years, like Rob and Michelle, and we don't agree on doctrine, but you know what? Praise God, we know that God has a heart for Rob and for me, and even for that woman that's walking back there, Michelle.
Okay, anyway, I'm moving on. But we are one in the Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit.
Love him like yourself. Don't break up your spiritual family.
That's a mystery.
That's a mystery for sure. We're related too. Don't let these works of the flesh become our gods and our idols. Hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, quarrels, conflicts, and factions.
No longer. Praise God.
Yeah, no longer. Amen.
So I believe that God is uniting God's people. And I believe that the Spirit of God is going to help us to rise up over doctrines, over silos, that Pastor Jim puts it.
Yep, and become one in the Spirit.
Amen. Somebody say Amen. That with me. Somebody stand and say, hallelujah, praise God, and let's give God some praise.
Hallelujah, praise God. We've got
Amen. One more. Go ahead.
So just a quick few, you can sit back down for a minute.
I thought that was the end.
I know. A few quick takeaway points. Because this is the teacher in me, okay? We review, and then we have the points to take away. You can take a picture if you want. As the bride, do we love all of who Yeshua is, the whole Bible, because yes. That's him.
Amen.
As the bride, do we respond to his invitation to draw near?
Yes.
And do we want his greater instruction, his greater Torah?
Oh, yes.
Always. Okay. Hopefully.
Okay, you can stand and praise God.
I want to finish my sentence. I want to see if anyone would like to comment or have questions now at the time. So we're just going to take probably about 5 minutes. Any comments or questions, and then we'll have lunch together.
No, so, and then we'll say praise God, hallelujah.
Well, that's right. We'll do that. Okay. So Mark, did you have your hand up? Thanks, honey.
There we go. Yeah. I'm also going to say these are new mics. They're a little more selective than the old mics that allowed you to talk from down here. If you do this, you get this far away, we won't hear you. So get it all the way up to your mouth. Use your elbow. That's what God made it for.
First of all, I'm glad that we're in the neighborhood, PC, because we love you. And second of all, I don't mind your antics because my 16-and-a-half-year-old loves them. So anything that gets her to pay attention and, like, grab a hold of it, and put it into her spirit, I don't mind. We're good.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Your daughter does.
It's okay. I don't know what antics are.
This week, Katie, I haven't talked for a while because my name is Mark. We've met a couple times. Yeah. She came home, and there are a couple things I want to pull out here. Is like, when you're vulnerable, and what I'm about to tell you is I had to confess and repent today as Samara's leading worship because the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and he told me, he's like, Mark, I was struggling with this revival in Kentucky, and it wasn't that I don't believe that there's a revival going on, but I was asking some of the same questions, like, how do we know? And I started, I came home, we're sitting at the dinner table, and I'm decompressing from the day, and bam, my wife, who intercedes for me, says, like, hey, have you heard of this? Did you see my thing? I said, yeah, you know, and immediately I wasn't confrontational, but I was me. And my walls go up, my fire goes up, my wall, you know, everything just goes up. And I'm like, and I start looking at this, and I immediately fired back at her. I said, yeah, but who's taking order over this thing? You know, is there a Mario Murillo in there? Is Dutch Sheets there? Who's going to be responsible for this thing if it goes sideways? And so as we're worshiping and as we're praying, the Lord, I'm asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, am I wrong after hearing, you know, my sister Andrea, you know, she gets up there and she says, and we don't know, because I haven't been to Kentucky, okay? But here's what I do know, is I asked the Lord, and here's the couple of things that he told me. He says, when you leave the house and nobody's at your home, whom guards your home while you are gone? And I said, Lord, it's the angels that I loosed and I put on the four corners. And he said, whom is it that ministers from the pulpit through Pastor Wendy and through Pastor Curtis? I said, Lord, it's your Holy Spirit. And he said, this time right now in Kentucky is an outpouring of my Holy Spirit, and I don't want men getting in the way. And I was just really convicted. And so I'm telling you, I'm just standing in front of you being super vulnerable that, you know, for me to be able to say that and say, I don't know, because I don't want to see the dogs barking. I want to see the Holy Ghost pour out on our community. And I know that we are in a position already to where he hasn't come here for that, because if he chooses to invade in Kentucky, like, praise God, all right? So, and we'll be ready to catch on the other side, because there, as I was talking to with the men's breakfast this last week, many of us have had visions of this place not only full, but we're going to have to, like, open up the windows and put speakers outside so that we can minister to people. Amen? So thank you, and yes, let's go. Amen.
Praise God. I was so impressed with Samara, because We're talking about Kentucky. What Samira represents is the start of a revival in our hearts of our young people. And that revival is going to be strong. And I believe that God's anointing is going to be upon this little town, because Kentucky, my great-grandpa was a circuit preacher in Kentucky. And he rode a horse in and basically told everyone, unless you get saved, you're all going to hell. I'm sure that's
why there's a revival there now, because of him. Amen.
So I expect it. Glenn, I believe we're going to have it here.
Okay, Glenn.
Well, it's, Satan's biggest tool he likes to use is division. And if we can't come together as Christians with other churches and other congregations, we all want the same. We really do. We just have some different ideas of how to get there. And that's something I love this. This is awesome, and it calls me to go do it at other churches. We need to unite, because that's the first thing as a general in a war is divide and conquer. Yeah. If we can divide them, we can overcome them. And that's what Satan's doing. He's putting that in, because man's in every church. Every one of us has flesh in us. That's
there isn't one nation in the world that's under God, because the enemy has divided our churches, our people. Like I think Pastor Jim was saying, that when that civil war, I forgot what nation came in, they went to the churches and said it's your fault because we have caused division. I can't go to church with you because you're a tongue speaker or you're a Baptist or whatever. But you know what? If I love my neighbor as myself, we're going to see the authority of God bring down the walls of Satan. And I believe that right now our young people is the beginning of the bride of Christ. And I believe right now it's in the formation. And we're going to see mighty works of the Holy Spirit through the bride.
We have more people that want to comment, but I want to say too that, okay, so Ken, Grant, and then Ken, I go into the schools and I sub throughout this whole valley, and something that does strike me still, because it's surprising, but at third hour every day in every school, they're still saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and in the pledge it says under God. And if nothing else, God's name is still being spoken and invoked upon these schools and the kids. And I, what? That's powerful. It's
so
powerful.
So be it.
Good. That's right, Grant.
Amen to everything spoken today. It's amazing. I love it. I love seeing you guys up there. I love the purple theme. It's beautiful. It really is. Especially with the purple slides up behind. It was gorgeous. But the speaking of the law and the speaking of the Torah portion this week, And the teaching of it that you guys presented with the mitzvah, right? Is that the word?
Mishpat.
I'll get it one day. But it speaks so deeply to us. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. When our brother Mark was speaking, I'm telling you, I've been in this church now for a little over a year, and I've sat in different places throughout. And there are times when the anointing is so amazing. Andrea will get up and speak. Andrea will speak. And it's just the same thing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Mark speaks. And it's the same thing the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. You guys are speaking. And the Spirit of God is so present. And it's so beautiful.
Praise God.
And it's confirmation. Yeah. And this thing about the Holy Ghost moving in Kentucky, they don't say oil in Kentucky. They say Earl. I went to Kentucky to sell oil as a training salesman, and all the farmers say Earl, and they grow tobacco. They don't grow tobacco. And it's just a whole different world. But that anointing is here.
It is.
The presence of God is here. And last week, Pastor Curtis said something that was life-changing to me that I want to address, because it's the entire congregation here. The whole community needs to get this, and that's that when God calls us, it's those who believe that they are called and respond. They're the ones who are called. They're the ones who have the anointing of God upon them.
Yeah.
So we all need to operate in that.
That's
anyway, that's my thoughts.
That's good. Thank you. Okay, Ken, and then Lori. And then we'll end with Alan, I think.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, a few years back when my wife and I first came to this church, Pastor Curtis opened up and said that he wanted to basically part of what he envisioned was us backing up other churches, us getting involved and encouraging other churches and being the backbone of doing a lot of the things, being the hands and feet of what people aren't doing. And that excited me. That really excited me. That made me feel like, you know, if this is a tiny little body of believers, even smaller than what we are now, you know, it's like, okay, what did God start with? Usually he starts with a willing heart. And at the time, there was willing hearts, you know. And as I saw that, like, it just enlightened me and encouraged me to think, okay, you know, my wife brought me to this church that I thought was, okay, this is very unique. What am I doing here? And then once I started understanding the walk and the dances and, you know, and everything else that's going on and visiting and getting to know one another, you know, personally, which is great because now, you know, during the week, I have people who text me or we visit with one another. You know, like in the book of Timothy, it talks about, you know, men are supposed to encourage other men and bring them up. Same with, look at our women of our, you know, in the church as sisters and basically treat them like that, you know. And I see that the women in this church are actually lifting up the younger. Same with us men, we're trying to lift up and encourage the younger, you know. So when I see people from other churches and going back to what Pastor said 3 years ago, it's wonderful to see that we have willing hearts, and not only that, that we feel, you know, the same spirit that wants us to reach out and lift up the churches and also the pastors of other churches as well to enlighten them and give them the strength and let them know, hey, we're with you. You know, we believe in the same God, you know, and we want to lift up and reach our valley, because this valley, basically, there's a lot of people here that we come to know and love and or like our neighbors and also our police department and sheriff's department and fire department and all those who are in the healthcare as well. I mean, they risk themselves basically for our good. Yeah. And so I'm just encouraged and excited that our church is so willing to get out there and do something about it. So keep us all in prayer that we actually do what we say, you know, and that we're not just lip service. We actually are doers.
Thank Amen. You for that, Ken.
Good job, Ken.
Miss Lori had her hand up back there. Josh, thank you.
This is almost too simple to say, but when I'm in my flesh a lot, and when I have outbursts of anger, not only if I keep practicing it, I won't inherit the kingdom, but I don't inherit it that day, that moment. I'm not in the kingdom. I'm out of it.
Well, praise God for mercy, and I thank God that he has told me personally that he died for you and loves you.
Amen.
I have prayed for this for I don't know how long. God stepped up.
Amen.
We stepped up. Because without unity, we're not going to make it, guys. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what denomination you are, where you eat your food, where you sit down, comb your hair, whatever. You ain't got no love. You ain't going to cut it. Okay? It's just that simple.
Well, thank you for your faithful prayers, Alan. Appreciate that. We're going to stand, and we're going to bless Yahweh for the meal that we have to share.
And then we're going to praise God.
We're going to do that all at the same time. Father, thank you so much for this Shabbat. I thank you for the meal that you've given us and then the food that we're about to partake in. I thank you for the body here and all the blessings spoken over it tonight or today. I thank you for that you have stirred in this body to be a people of action, to be a bridge into our community, Father, that you did give us that vision 3 years ago. And Father, I just pray that we would faithfully fulfill that in every way that we can, and equipping us in the areas and helping us to come alongside those that are equipped and need the support. So I just thank you for directing us in all those things. And we just love you, we bless you, and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.
God said he inhabits the praises of Israel. So why don't we praise God?
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.